Well, hello and welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams, and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys listening to the sound of my voice and wish you all peace, love, and happiness. Man, it feels like every week we go on, it feels like more of a circus, more of a zoo, all of the stuff that's happening. So, nothing really major. Let me get some lighthearted stuff out of the way first. So, in talking about this song that Cardi B released with Meg Thee Stallion, let's go there first. A song by the name of WAP, and I'm not going to say what it stands for. I'll let you all look it up at your leisure. But the thing is that people are going crazy over this one song because of its content and how the girls are being like vulgar and it shouldn't be a song out like that. And here come people with the what are young kids doing to music nowadays, blah, blah, blah. So people of my age, of my generation, we have nothing to say, first of all, because we grew up the 2 Live Crew. And to me, 2 Live Crew trumps everything. Nothing that Luke and 2 Live Crew has said and done can be compared to anything that's going on right now. And if you're of age and you remember 2 Live Crew, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But not even that. Let's talk about some people like Adina Howard. Let's talk about Foxy Brown. Let's talk about Lil' Kim. You can go back as far as Clarence Carter and Strokin and Marvin Gaye with Let's Get It On. I mean, you can even throw Ray in there because back in his time, he was kind of marrying what was considered gospel music with secular music. So, and then what's really funny is that all over social media, well, not all over, because I don't think everybody has seen it, but people have gone back and looked up this old artist from the 1930s. And her name was Lucille Bogan. And she was also known as Bessie Jackson. But I will let you look up her music. And it seems that she's gotten this resurgence of, if you go look at internet searches for this particular artist, she was a blues artist back in the day. And she, how can I say? She was as raunchy as I think I have ever heard. If you hear the song by Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion, this Lucille Bogan woman makes them sound like elementary school kids with what she was singing about. So I'll let you look that up, but this was back in the 30s, granted, 1930s. Yeah. So go look her up. The point I'm trying to make, though, is that I don't understand why people are making a big deal about this one song. Yeah, it's graphic. Yeah, it's vulgar. But to me, it's a song about women taking control over their own sexuality, taking control over their own what they say and what they do. I mean, it's kind of like a stand up and take your place. And yeah, it's talking about sexuality, but that is one facet of being a human being. Like our sexual energy is something that's around. It shouldn't be ignored. It shouldn't be pushed to the side. Whether you agree with it being put out in a way like the song suggests, or like the song talks about, but like I said, people have been using music, or people have been selling sex over music since the beginning of time, so this is nothing new. So yeah, just wanted to throw that out there, that I personally do not see anything wrong with this this song by Cardi B and Meg Thee Stallion. I mean, it's not like an excellent song or anything either. I mean, it's a decent song. It's nice. It's what people are listening to nowadays. But I mean, the content of the song is like, to me, that's not a big deal. Nobody's ruining anything because people have been talking about sex since people have been walking the earth. I think the fact that in the video, so let me see if I can get some context out of this. So in the video, it's about strength. It's about women taking control of their sexual power and their sexual energy. But it's talking, the women in the video are all black. So you got Cardi B, you got Meg Thee Stallion. There's a couple of other ladies in the end of the video. I don't exactly know who they are, but there are some other people that do know who they are, and they are all black. And then right smack dab in the middle of the video is a brief cameo by Kylie Jenner. And Kylie Jenner is somebody who people have said she has taken liberties with other cultures in the past. Like, she's gotten her hair like in cornrows, I think it was. And people call that cultural appropriation. She had her eyes done kind of like Native Americans or something like that. It was makeup or something. I don't know. Something that she had done on several occasions, actually, where she was kind of stealing culture from other people and kind of making it her own. But, you know, to me, that's how it goes. That's what's been going on since the beginning of time. That's for a whole nother podcast that I don't want to get into right now. But I think people are really mad that she's in the video, and it could be a video that's supporting black women, black female empowerment, things like that. And she had no business being a part of that. So I don't know. But people are upset about it. But like I said, leave these kids alone. People of my generation, we had our time with music. We had Biggie. We had Tupac. We had Lil' Kim. We had Blackstreet. We had Rex and Effect. We had BET Uncut, or BET After Dark. I can't even remember what it was, but it was on BET. It was a string of music videos. It was like an hour long, and it was like the music videos that BET could not play during the day. Like, that's how raunchy the videos were. So, I mean, we had all of that. And to me, it's how dare we try to talk about music that they're listening to now like they're ruining the fabric of this country. No, the fabric of this country is already pretty much ruined. And it's nothing that the kids are doing now. Like, every generation has done something to, quote unquote, ruin the fabric of the country. So this one song is not going to make that big of a difference. So anyway, if you've heard the song, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard the song, if you do not want to be offended by sexually explicit content, I would not advise going to look it up. But I know just the fact that I've said something about it is going to cause people to go look it up anyway. So good luck with that. Same thing with Lucille Bogan, by the way. She's very graphic. She's very explicit. So I will put out the warnings right there. Go look those things up at your own risk. So, but anyway, on top of that, man, let me tell you guys, I'm just going to throw this out there, had the most amazing, amazing bottle of wine the other day. Something that just came out of nowhere. Like, it was a bottle I'd been saving. I don't even know why I was saving it. It wasn't for a special occasion or anything. I just didn't have an opportunity to drink it. I was going to try and have it with like a meal, a special meal, or I wanted to have like a filet mignon because it was a red wine. It was a Petit Syrah, I'll tell you that. And it came from the wine business that I'm in. Man, I have literally never tasted a wine that was like this good. Oh my goodness. If you follow me on Instagram, you saw the pictures that I posted of it. And I did end up cooking something with it. I forgot what the meal was, but I remember that wine, because that wine was just like out of this world. It was so good. And it came from the wine business. So I'm telling you guys, if you're looking to expand your palate, expand your knowledge of wine, get in contact with me and join up with this company, man, because this is some incredible, incredible wines. Something else that I'm looking forward to this month, one of our members won a contest that the company is holding, and she actually got a wine named after her. So we've got these wines that are named after people that do well in the company. Beforehand, we had a Hudson sparkling wine, and we had the Antoineau Cabernet Sauvignon, and this time around, and we had the Rickard Merlot, which I have yet to try. I haven't tried that yet. And all of these people are people that are in our company that are doing some incredible things. So this month, we have the Ashley Moscato, and that's named after Priscilla Ashley. She's like a rock star in our company, and she's doing big things. And I'm talking about, guys, people that are making full-time income with this wine business. So It's pretty incredible. I can't wait to get my hands on it. I can't wait to try it. That Hudson Sparkling was amazing. I have not tried the Rickard Merlot yet, but I do have that. One of those other things that I'm saving for a special occasion. Let me tell you, in my mind, I'm planning on trying to recreate Gordon Ramsay's his dish. That's like the meat wrapped in the pastry. Oh my God, I can't remember the name of it. Man, for those who know what I'm talking about, it's that really special cut of meat wrapped in a pastry and put in the oven and cooked just like beautifully every time I've seen Gordon Ramsay do it, or every time I've seen them do it on Hell's Kitchen. It looks amazing. So I'm trying to save the Rickard Merlot for something like that. And then the Antoineau, the Cabernet Sauvignon, I had that. That was, my wife fell in love with that one. I fell in love with that one. We normally don't drink like the heavier red wines like that, but this was an amazing fruit flavored red wine, and she liked it. She's come from a place, she's come a long way, because she was the type that would never even touch a red wine. But ever since we've got involved with this company, she's been opening her palate, she's been trying different things, and now she's a fan of Cabernet Sauvignon. Never thought I would see the day. We've been together for over a decade, and she is just now opening up her palate to different flavors of wine. So this month we've got the Ashley Moscato coming. I cannot wait. So be sure to follow me on Instagram at Corsi the Wine Lover. I'll let you know when I get my hands on that, and yeah, we'll try that one out. So, and on top of that, or aside from that, now let's talk about some heavier news. The country's still in turmoil. It's still chaos in this country. Schools are opening up despite suggestions by doctors and scientists, and they're having to close down, or they're having a huge chunk of the population of the school having to quarantine themselves after, contracting COVID, because we're still dealing with this. It's been hot, and people are still catching, like the numbers are still going up. We were told that kids wouldn't be affected by it, but now children are getting coronavirus and they're having to stay home for fears of like infecting their older family members. So this is not a joke. There are still people that still believe that this virus is not real. There's still people that believe that we're still not dealing, like we're 160,000 deaths in. And like I said last week, these are people that had friends, they had family members, they had mothers and daughters and fathers and sons, and they were mothers, daughters, fathers, and sons. I mean, you hear the number 160,000, and it just kind of seems like this way off number, but these were people that had lives, they had goals, they had dreams, they had aspirations. And the fact that this country and its lack of leadership has allowed this many people to die is unreal to me. And it's also unreal that people don't believe that this is real, like this is truly happening. And it's really a case of wearing a mask when you go out, social distancing, making sure you thoroughly wash your hands at every chance you get. I mean, those are like some easy rules to follow, and it could potentially save, even if it's just one life that you save. I don't understand what the big deal of it is. So, we're still dealing with this. We're still trying to figure out how we are going to do our schooling system, with all of this stuff going on. Like, my son is starting school, I believe, next week, and his school has decided to go 100% virtual, at least for the first 9 weeks. And then we're gonna, I guess, assess how it's going. And then take it from there. But the thing that I'm worried about is now that the summer is kind of drawing to a close, we're in August now, the summer is kind of ending. The hot weather didn't do anything to the virus, so now we're getting back into, that traditional flu season, or the cold weather, or the weather where this virus kind of thrives. So, we'll see how to deal with it. Like, I'm not one for making predictions. I'm one for, like, when it happens, we'll see what happens and we'll take measures then. But we're going to continue, like, social distancing, continue wearing masks. And it's not about stopping the virus by wearing a mask. To me, it's more of a sign of respect for others when you are wearing a mask. If you're not wearing a mask, not only are you saying, I don't care if I catch the virus, but you're also saying, I don't care if that person over there catches it and gives it to his grandmother, or that person catches it and gives it to their significant other. You know, I mean, and then people are reacting to this virus in totally different ways. Like, nobody is kind of reacting the same way. And I think that's why people are just, you know, kind of, they think it's a lie, because there's no base, there's no like placebo group, or there's no standard on how people are reacting to it. So it's hard to nail this stuff down. It's hard to get a handle on it, I know, but like, if we would have taken the extreme measures back in March, we could be like New Zealand, and New Zealand hasn't had a brand new case of coronavirus in like 100 days. But the reason for that is because they took decisive action when this mess first started. They didn't flip-flop and be like, oh, we're not wearing a mask here, but other places have to wear a mask. Like, we just had there was like a motorcycle convention. I forgot what state it was, but it was a motorcycle convention and nobody wore a mask. And you're talking about like 2,500 people like gathering. I mean, celebrating riding motorcycles and celebrating being in motorcycle clubs and things like that. Yeah, I get it. But nobody social distancing. Nobody had a mask. It was just like, you know, people are acting like nothing was going on. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Man, it's just circus time. And then Joe Biden has picked his vice president candidate, Kamala Harris. And, you know, people are split on that. People are saying she's not black enough. Or people are saying, well, she was responsible for locking up a whole bunch of black people while she was a prosecutor. Man, it's just, I don't know. I don't have any answers because I didn't follow Kamala Harris. I'm not one to look up all kinds of stats and things like that. But one thing I will say is, for everybody that says something like, you know, Kamala Harris locked up black people, they say the Clintons were responsible for locking up more black folks than anybody in history. Or people will say, well, you know, the Democrats started owning slaves first when the Republicans didn't. When people say stuff like that to me, the only thing that enforces in my mind is that neither side can be trusted. No side, nobody can be trusted. Nobody has the interests of black people truly in heart. Because it was everybody. Everybody was owning slaves. Everybody was oppressing black people. Everybody was in on locking black folks up. But prison is a business. And the more people that are locked up in that prison, the more money the prison makes. So everybody had their hand in on making money off of, you know, whatever was going on inside the prison. So I personally, of course, I'm voting for Biden and Kamala Harris. You know, I don't believe that they are the perfect candidates. I don't believe that they are going to fix everything that's going on. But I did hear this amazing analogy about voting, and it's kind of like our entire politics system as it stands. And it says, it's time to remember the best voting advice I have ever heard. Voting isn't marriage. It's public transport. You're not waiting for the one who is absolutely perfect. You're getting the bus. And if there isn't one going exactly to your destination, you don't stay at home and sulk. You take the one going closest to where you want to be. So when we think about voting, we think about our politics. I think that is a very good way of explaining it. So let me take a quick break, talk about some of our sponsors, pay some bills, and I will be right back. Hey everybody, DeCourcy Williams here, and I have a quick question for you. Are you interested in wine? Do you enjoy drinking a glass every now and again? Have you ever gone to the grocery store and just been overwhelmed with the amount of selections that you can choose from? Well, I think I may have a solution for you. Let me introduce you to Wine Ambassador.
Wine Ambassador's vision is to become the number one wine club in the world through word of mouth marketing. If you click on the link in the show notes description, you'll be taken to an area where you can learn a little bit more about this amazing company. We have different ways that you can be a part of this company, and you can earn wine for free. And on top of that, you can earn a pretty sizable income as well. So if you're interested in turning your love of wine into a profitable business, you can contact me on Instagram under Corsi the Wine Lover, or just send me a message here on the podcast. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions for you. Thank you very much.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with me. And there's one more piece of news that I need to get off of my chest. So apparently there was another senseless murder. This unbelievable monster last Sunday. He basically executed a 5-year-old child, and the child's name was Cannon Hennant. And apparently he was riding his bike in his neighborhood, actually right in front of his house with his sisters. And the next door neighbor, for whatever reason, I don't know, walked up to him and shot the little boy in the head. Like, unbelievably heinous act. Now, the neighbor apparently had drinks and dinner with the little kid's father, like, the night before, or in some recent time before this accident happened. It wasn't an accident. Before this episode happened. And they're still trying to find a motive, so there's not too much to say about it except that this guy is in jail. I hope he gets the most severe penalty that a person could get. And I hope it happens swiftly. This little kid, he didn't have to die. There was no reason for this little child to die. 5 years old. Like, come on, what in the world is going on? So a lot of people are trying to twist this around because the little child was white and the guy that killed him was black. I'm not even going to say his name. His name doesn't even need to grace my lips, let alone my podcast. But he was captured. And he was captured the same day or the next day. He's in jail right now without bond. Hopefully he never gets out. Like, if he doesn't get the most severe penalty that a person can get, I hope he never, ever gets out. But people on social media trying to use this and compare this to George Floyd and demanding justice for Cannon. Well, other than the fact that the little child should still be alive, what justice, what other justice can be served? Except for convicting his killer and giving his killer the death penalty, I think is what should happen, to be honest. But people are screaming justice for Cannon. Well, his killer has been arrested. What about the cops that murdered Breonna Taylor? What about the two guys that followed Aubrey and murdered him? What about the police officer that shot Philando Castile sitting in the passenger seat of his wife's car with his 5-year-old daughter in the back seat watching her father bleed out? And there's countless others who their killers are either just still walking free, they were never talked to, they were never interrogated, they were never captured, or the killers that were captured and they were set free because the justice system didn't feel that a crime was committed. Now, in Philando Castile's case, he had nothing to do with the traffic stop. His girlfriend was driving a car, she got pulled over, and he was in the passenger seat, and the cop had his gun drawn on him and shot him and killed him. Ahmaud Arbery was jogging, and two white men took it upon themselves to follow him to make sure that he wasn't quote-unquote doing anything illegal in their neighborhood. And they shot him in the middle of the street. And we would never have known that this had even happened because it happened back in February. And the national outrage was like 3 months later. That was swept under the rug. They talked to the guys that shot him and deemed that nothing wrong happened. And then Breonna Taylor, she was asleep in her house. And officers kicked in her door and shot her. In the middle of the night. because of a no-knock warrant. So, I'm sorry. This little child should not have died. His killer is in jail. Hopefully he gets the harshest penalty he can get. But trying to compare him to George Floyd or anybody else, it's not the same thing. I'm sorry. It is not. It is not. This little kid is going to get justice and closure because they have his killer. But these other people, they're still in limbo, or their killers have been released because the justice system didn't see anything wrong with their deaths. So I just wanted to put that out there. It's a shame about this little child. Like, I don't know what kind of justice. I think people want people to be rioting in the streets or protesting or painting murals on the sides of walls or things like that. Remember, this happened Sunday, last Sunday. The officer that killed Philando Castile, he has never been brought to justice. The cops that shot and killed Breonna Taylor, I don't even think they've been interrogated. They haven't been talked to. The cop that killed George Floyd, they deemed that nothing was wrong. So, you know, what kind of justice can be done? What else can be done for this little kid? Like, I couldn't imagine having my son shot and killed by my neighbor. Like, I probably wouldn't be here because I would kill the neighbor, or he would have to kill me. One of us would have to die. Whew, that sounds so harsh. Good Lord. But like I said, there's so much going on. There's so much going on. So, let me get off of that, because I don't want to bring down this podcast, because what I want to talk about is your focus and your determination in getting through this storm. What we're in right now is an attack on all of us. All of us right now are under attack. We are under attack by doubt, by pessimism, by bad news, which is why I say that you probably shouldn't be paying attention to the news too much, because there's nothing there but horror and bad stories and negativity. And what we need to focus on is sticking to our own personal game plans and where we want our lives to go. So, the question of the day that I want to pose is, what is it that you all have been doing to secure the next part of your life, the next chapter of your life? If you are blessed enough to make it through this pandemic, what is it that you're doing? A couple of examples, like getting your credit straight, paying off some bills, getting that credit card bill that's nagging you off of your back, getting that paid off, purchasing an asset. There's a new way of thinking that I've been hip to about how we are living. And when we go to work and we make our paycheck, we make our livings, that should not be used to just pay bills. That's how you get caught in a rat race. That's how you get trapped if you just go to work just to pay bills. When you go to work, you should use your money from your paycheck to buy assets. Those assets should then fund your livelihood. It should fund your lifestyle. I talked last week about choosing a vehicle in order to get you where you want to go. That was one of the steps that I talked about. People are using real estate as a vehicle, as a financial vehicle to get them where they want to go. I am looking at purchasing some vending machines and putting vending machines up at particular places and, you know, having that kind of be semi-passive income. Some people are like joining network marketing companies, like what I'm part of, like with the wine business and with the coffee business. There are some things that we could be doing that can set us up for the next chapter in our lives. Now, we thought this thing would be over, and I'm talking about the pandemic. We thought the pandemic was going to be over by the time summer hit, and that didn't happen. And so now that we see that this is going to be an ongoing thing, we might have to deal with this thing for, you know, forever. We've got to be able to adjust, dodge, and go with the punches, go with the flow. Because if you're still here, you're still breathing, you still got a chance to make your dreams come true. And out of all this negativity, out of all of this, it's like a firestorm, something good is going to come out of this for a lot of people. Now, a lot of people are going to hang on to the doom and gloom. They're going to hang on to their insecurities. They're going to hang on to their what ifs. They're going to hang on to their old ways of thinking. But it's a brand new world out here. You have to adapt. You have to move on. You have to push yourself to new heights. And I am seeing on social media a whole bunch of people that's taking advantage of the pandemic, because that's basically what's going on. Taking advantage of the situation in order to set yourself up. The fact that some people were making more money with unemployment than they were with on their job. What were those people doing? Did they buy some assets? Did they pay some bills off? Did they, I don't know. Did they make that that emergency fund, have that that cushion set up? That's another thing that I did, by the way, by using Stash. I want to just put that out there. But there's the people. I saw another post on Facebook where it was like the government gave people the bag and people wanted to go out and buy bags and buy shoes, hair done, nails done, makeup. They wanted to do all of this other stuff as if everything were normal. And your focus and your determination should be on pivoting and rolling with this wave that's coming. And I'm not talking about a blue wave. I'm not talking about a red wave. I'm talking about a brand new way that we are going to have to live. A brand new way that we're going to have to adjust to living and earning a living. It's a whole new world out here. And you're either going to roll with it or you're going to be left behind. And me personally, I want to be part of the group that rolls with it. Like I said, I've always believed that everybody has something to offer the world, their gifts, their talents. And there is no reason why any of us shouldn't be using that talent or using that gift in order to create an income. And then we should be supporting others that are doing the same thing. Because like I said, another one of my beliefs, I don't believe there's such thing as a self-made person. The people have ideas, yes. They come up with their ideas on their own. But there isn't anybody who is wildly successful that did it by themselves. Like, I just don't believe that that's true. Nobody has done anything wildly successful alone. One thing you can do alone is sit at your house and be scared and be down in the dumps and be resentful at the world. Those things you can do on your own, the situations that you can put yourself in, yeah, you can do that by yourself all day long. But we need each other. We need to complement one another. We need to support one another in our endeavors. And I'm not just talking about just your tribe. There's this guy on Twitter that I'm following by the name of Bill Pulte, and he's what's called a Twitter philanthropist. And he basically just signs on Twitter every day and talks to people and gives away money. And I'm talking about he's giving away $1,700. I mean, whatever amount that you can think of. Like, he's just giving money away, and it's a lot of his own money. And he's inspired a lot of other people who might be well off to give money away. And he's like, you know, Cash App and PayPal, and it's a fun time following him on Twitter, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that's hurting. There's a lot of people out there with a whole bunch of need. And I believe we need to help each other out instead of just trying to trudge it on, do it by ourselves and thinking that we can do things alone. Like, no, we need each other. And I'll say it to the day I die. The world needs your gift. The world needs your talents. And the only way to do that is with your focus and with your determination in order to hone that particular talent. So, we're also talking about funding your mission, your vehicle that you use financially in order to get there. One of the things that is also true is that you cannot worry about funding your vision if you got a whole bunch of debt on your back. If you got a whole bunch of bills that you got to pay off, if you have a bunch of loans, student loans, car loans, credit card loans, or whatever, payday loans, Like, you gotta get rid of that stuff. That stuff has to go in order to free your mind up so you can focus on your mission. And that's the hard part. Because right now, a lot of people, it's not working. A lot of people need that money. And then the government just cut off that extra $600 unemployment benefit. And there are some people that don't know what they're going to do. There are some people that might not have, like, a place to live next month. Man. So, we need to turn to others. We need each other. That's just it. So, this right here, this particular episode of the podcast, I must admit, a little bit more of a brain dump than some actionable steps. But for actionable steps, let me give you a couple. Learn how to sell on eBay or Amazon or OfferUp or Declutter. You can make a little side hustle just by selling stuff around your house, number one. Number two, DoorDash. Use Instacart. What's the other one? Grubhub. You can render your services out as a delivery person. And there's some people on DoorDash making a fair bit of money too, by the way. It's nothing to slouch at. Offer up your services on like Fiverr, like if you're a graphic designer, if you do voiceover work, if you're an artist, you come up with logos for people. You can offer that stuff up on Fiverr. You can offer that stuff up on Udemy. If you have a particular skill or a hobby that you're into, you can create a class and you can put that out there, put that on Teachable. There's a couple of others where you can kind of, you know, pay for learning service and put your services out there. We got to change how we think about money, people. And there's a lot of folks that's really down right now and they're wondering how they're going to get by, wondering how they're going to get ahead. This technology that we have out here is allowing us to do things that we've never been able to do before, as far as earning money. And those are just a couple of the examples. When you get some money, you don't want to be giving it away like in fees or like stupid frivolous things. That's why I go with Stash or something like Acorns. You can have a checking or savings account with Stash and they're not charging you like service fees and monthly maintenance fees. And even if you bounce a check, they're not going to charge you like if you overextend your account, they're not charging you like that fee. I remember Bank of America, good Lord, they would charge $35 for each transaction that you went over on your account. Now, me and my spending habits back in the day, Bank of America made a killing off of me because it would be like dominoes. Like one thing would overextend my account and my account would be like $1.94 in the negative and then $35 charge. And then something else would try to go through, $35 charge. Then it would be like three or four things going through, and each one of those things was a $35 charge. And I had to stop dealing with Bank of America because they were killing me on service fees. So, we gotta think about how we're gonna deal with this brand new world. Because there's just things coming at us way too fast and hanging on to old ideas and old ways of thinking. Like, that's a killer. I think that's what they want you to do. They want you to focus on how things were, how things used to be. We're not going back to that. Even getting through this pandemic, we're not going back. It's kind of like 9/11. After 9/11 happened, like everything changed. Everything was different. Security at the airports were different. It was taking people longer to get on a plane than before after 9/11. Well, this is a 9/11 moment, this pandemic. Like, things are going to change and we got to be able to adapt. So I want everybody to be able to adapt to, and we don't know where it's going to go. Nobody knows how this is going to end. But the one thing we do know is that you need to be able to keep up with the punches. And those are going to be your successful people. Those are going to be your people that come out on the other side of this thing, like super, super successful. So, I don't want anybody down in the dumps. I don't want anybody to think about all the negative things that are going on, because there's a lot of them. But I want your focus and I want your determination to be what you're doing to get through on the other side of this. So that's what I have for you guys today. More of a kind of like a personal brain dump on the podcast today. I'm going to go back to listening to WAP. No, I'm not. I'm just joking. but I don't see... I don't see a whole bunch of people like jumping on the WAP bandwagon and rocking it out every chance they get. There's probably going to be a few, you know how that goes. But yes, thank you guys very much for joining me. I invite you to follow me on my various forms of social media. I'm on Instagram at Corsi the Wine Lover, where I'm talking about these incredible wines that I'm getting with this business that I'm in. Like, man, I can't believe it. Like, let me throw another point out there. I do have this one bottle of wine. It's called the Gloaming. It's another Cabernet Sauvignon. This wine was used at Morton's the Steakhouse. This bottle of wine was going for $400 a bottle on their menu. Now, this is my second bottle that I've had with this wine business. And good Lord, this is a good wine. I've never been the type of person that could drop a couple of $100 on a bottle of wine going out to dinner. But you know, that's what I'm striving for. That's what I'm shooting for. I listen to Eric Thomas, and he's got Jamal King on his podcast. You know, that's the 9 to 5 millionaire. He's always talking about living on the left side of the menu. You know, because you know, menus normally have the description of the item on the left side, and then they have the price on the right side. How amazing would it be to live your life on the left side of the menu? Meaning you don't look at the price. You just look at the description of something and you order based on what you want instead of ordering based on how much it costs. In order to get there, you need funding for your mission, you need help from other people, and you need that focus and that determination to get through the firestorm. All of the negative things that's going on around us, because we're going through it now. So that's what I have for you guys. I invite you guys to join me, like I said, on Instagram, so you can find out about these incredible wines that I'm getting. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. You know, the usual social media things. I was thinking about jumping on TikTok, but now they're talking about banning that, so I don't know how that's going to work out. But you know what? It's another one of those things we have to adjust to. It's just another social media platform. Like, if TikTok gets banned, then, you know, people still have, like, the usuals. And then there's more social medias popping up all over. I saw something called Melanated People the other day. That's another social media platform. I think it's catered more for black folks. So, you know, this stuff is never ending. It's never stopping. Just bob and weave, guys. Bob, weave, smile, and wave. That's the advice that I have for you. So thank you very much for joining me for this episode of the podcast, and I will talk to you guys in the next one.